We live stream because that's all we can do right now, and we hope that other people will catch in. We apologize for the clutter on this end. We're just doing the best we can here, and this is the best we can do. Let's see if I can't. Nope, that makes it worse. All right, we'll just do that then. All right. Today, we're going to be looking at Job chapter 38 and 39. As time permits, I'm going to try to keep this to around 20 minutes. So if by 11 o'clock we're not done, then I'll just go to next week and do it, you know. But let's look at this. Our lives are rough at times. Everyone has their opinions on how to improve life. As a matter of fact, there's one preacher that's got his book talking about your best life now. And pardon the allergies. It is, I have read it because I don't know. I don't know where he stands on some things, and I'm not confident enough to get the book. Everybody's got their opinions on how to have the best life. Everyone's got their opinions on how to improve a lousy life or bad situations. They have complaints maybe about what is going wrong. And it was the same with Job. Job had his complaints, and Job's friends had no absence of opinions, no lack of opinions. Because everybody had their opinions about Job. Job had his complaints. But when God spoke, the matter was settled. God doesn't give opinions. What God says is fact. And so we need to remember that what God says is fact. It's just fact. He is the ultimate authority. He is the last word. Job 38, verse 1 says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness for we failed you. It's a different way to meet. We ask your help on the live stream situation. Ask your help on the phone side that we can get things working where people without internet can eventually call in. Bless our church. We pray that we can meet again safely soon. But until then, bless the word as it's given, where it's given. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, and I realized that is an odd place to end up. That's an odd place to start and not go any further, and I realize that, but I'm still trying to get this fixed up. I apologize, guys. Trying to get it to where it looks better on screen. There we go. That's better. But there's a lot that is important when you're dealing with this first verse. It seems to some maybe almost useless. Well, we know who's speaking, you know. And that's important, yes, of course. But, you know, they leave it at that maybe. But that's not what this verse says. That's not all this verse says. It says, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. So this verse is actually packed with several fascinating things. Imagine talking to someone and out of nowhere a whirlwind popped up. I looked at the Greek behind this word, and no, I don't remember what the actual Greek word was because I was more interested in the definition. But the idea is not a small dust devil. The idea is it's a storm, a huge stormy whirlwind. The word has been used to describe a hurricane, but it's also been used to just describe, you know, stormy situations. A whirlwind. We know what a whirlwind is. I think of a tornado. I don't know how big the whirlwind that God kicked up was. Obviously, God could have kicked up a hurricane if he wanted to. He is powerful enough. He is strong enough. He is the creator of the universe. He can do whatever we want. But the honest thing is, it wasn't recorded how large the whirlwind was. What is recorded is that there was a whirlwind and that God spoke out of it. And you know, the whirlwind, I'm sure, was rather big and impressive. And that's pretty rough already, but then you have the voice of God speaking. The voice of God. This is what he says in verse 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Job made complaints of God, but Job did not have the full picture. It's easy for someone to say something like Job did about God and such without thinking. We often speak without thinking. Far too often we speak without thinking. And it's easy to do, but God was, for Job and is for us, always present. And now God here makes himself known to Job, and God now demanded of Job an answer. Gird up your loins like a man. You know, it's easy to... You talk about somebody when no one's there, but God's always there. And now you're, I mean, not literally face to face with him, but you're in his presence in some way, form, or fashion. This could have very well been, I think it's called a Christophany or something like that, where Jesus shows up before his virgin birth. Could very well have been, because, you know, the Bible says no one has seen God at any time, but the Son of God, you know, was the answer there. So that could very well be. I don't have all the answers. But the point is, God, in some form or other, in this case a whirlwind, obviously, demanded of Job an answer. Where were you, verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. A major question here that we don't want to miss. Job may have thought he knew what he was talking about during his complaints, but there was more he didn't see. There was a lot more he didn't see. And God just flat out points it, and he says, where were you when I started this thing? You say, you know, you have your complaints, and you say that you want to know what's going on. Well, where were you when I started this mess? Now, it wasn't a mess when he started it. It's sure a mess now. He said, where were you when I laid the foundations? Verse 5, who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? The only one who knew at that time, probably, the measurements of the earth was God. Now, with technology, we could probably get a fairly accurate estimation of the size and diameter, circumference, that's what I'm trying to say, of the Earth. However, I tell you this, we still don't know everything that's in it. We still don't know. There's still parts of the ocean that we haven't explored. Think about that for a minute. There are depths of the ocean that I'm fairly certain we have not explored. But God knows every single piece of it. Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? Well, who laid the cornerstone? God did. And God knows what he's doing. When the morning stars sang together, verse 7, and all of the sons of God shouted for joy, he says, where were you? Did you see all this happen? In essence, God knows what he's doing. There's no question here. There's no, oh, I don't know what to do. Job's in trouble. That wasn't a thing. God knew what was going on. Matter of fact, it had to go through him before it went anywhere else. Verse 8 through 11 says, or who shut up the seas with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling for it, and break it up for my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. He said, who did this? And then he said, he answers his own question. He said, I did this. I set boundaries that man cannot see. I give you an example. There will never again be a world flood like there was when Noah was in the ark. God promised, never again. Never again. But I don't see the boundary, do you? I see flooding, but I don't see the boundary. There is a boundary. Of a truth, the world has not flooded. Now, parts of the world have flooded. Like cities or countries have had problems. You know, your smaller country. But the world hasn't flooded. Because God set the boundaries. And Job did not see the boundaries God placed on Satan while Job was being tormented. And folks, God has placed boundaries on how much you or I are allowed to be tormented of the devil or of life in general. God says to all the forces of the world, hitherto and no further. Now, I can't say that. I saw a preacher, a so-called preacher on TV, that was like, he rebuked the coronavirus in Jesus' name. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have that authority. Jesus has that authority, but he did not give you the authority to do that. But God, even in this pandemic, has set the boundaries hitherto and no further. There will come a time when it'll be over. We don't see it now. There will come a time when we will either have killed it or maybe it burns itself out. I don't know how this works. But I'm telling you, folks, there will come a time it'll be over, and it will be because God decided it was time to be over. I'm not saying that we don't do what we can to stop the spread of this mess. I think that's a responsibility that we do have. But ultimately, it's going to be God who stops this thing. And it's kind of foolish to think that we can do it. How large this thing is. Remember, God is the one that's going to put a stop to it. God is the one that's going to set that boundary and has already set that boundary. Let's look at verses 12 through 15. Have you commanded the morning since thy days and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. Let me tell you what he's talking about. He says, did you bring up the sun? And from the wicked their light is withholden, and their high arm be broken. He said, did you bring the morning? Did you bring that morning light? Did you call it forth? The bad guys don't like the light. And the shadows that were stamped into the seals of the darkness are now shining forth and showing your hills, your mountains, your valleys. They're showing forth now. They're plain. They're not just shapes anymore. He says, did you ever do this, Job? Well, no, Job has never done that. Job has, of course, never done that. But God does it every single day. Think about it. He brings the morning every single day. Let's look at verses 16 and 17. It says, have you entered into the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you perceived the breath of the earth? Verse 18. Declare if you know it all. He talks about three things here. He talks about the depths of the sea, which I think man still hasn't fully explored. And that was, this is thousands of years later. Have you seen, he says, the doors of the shadow of death? The realm of death is God's to behold. It is not man's. Until, of course, man dies, and then you go to one of two places. You either go to heaven because you trusted Christ alone, or you go to hell because you didn't trust him, or you tried to trust yourself in your works. And he says, do you know everything that's in the earth? Of course not. There is not one single person on the face of this earth today that knows everything there is to know about the earth. Not one. God knows so much more than we do. Here's one for you, 19 and 20. Where is the way where the light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That you should take it to bound thereof? And that you should know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born? Or because your number is great? He says, hey, do you know where the light and dark goes when it's gone? I've never heard somebody ask that question before. Now I know this scientist is going to go, well, the sun goes. God made the sun. He made the light. He made the darkness. How about when you shine a flashlight on something? Where's the dark go? What is light? What makes it? So many questions that God has all the answers to. And then he says, Job, do you know this stuff? Of course, he's being sarcastic. He knows Job don't know this stuff. But he says, do you know it because you were born back then? Or because you're really old and you just got that wisdom there? It's like, how do you know that, Job? Of course, Job doesn't know it at all. Job doesn't know it at all. And that's the point he's trying to get through to Job. Is you've made all these complaints. You've even made a few accusations. Yet, Job, you know nothing. And you know something? I think that's us too. We make all our accusations. We make all our complaints. But in the end, we know nothing. I want to thank you for listening. I know we didn't get even through all of 38, but next week is another week with more from the words of God to Job. Thank you so much for everything and for watching. A little bit of housekeeping. Be sure to mail your tithes into the church. If you need an address, comment, or message, and I'll be sure to give it to you. Give me a call. If you know my number, I'll be sure to give you any information you need. Any assistance I'm able to give, I'll give. Just give me a ring, give me a comment. There are things, of course, that I'm unable to do, but I will try to help where I can. See if there's something else. The ladies' meeting has been moved, as well as the youth rally. They will not be in the April, May, June times. You're looking at August and September now. The ladies' meeting tentatively is in August if we're able to get out and September for the youth rally that will be. So look for those. The youth rally should be really good once we finally are able to do it because the other brothers are coming to Antioch. And if you don't know about the other brothers, well, if you want to know more, give me a message. I'll send you some video that you might laugh at and enjoy. Brand new material too, so. All right, gang, that's it. God bless. Pray for your church and pray for everyone in this mess. Bye-bye.